Good morning. Good morning. It's a beautiful, beautiful morning. And a happy Father's Day. How about a Father's? Come on. Happy Father's Day. You bet. Take a look at the bulletins. Margaret Miller does such a beautiful job. She goes out and she looks over bulletins, brings us special bulletins for special occasions. Can I get a thanks to the Lord for Sister Margaret? What she does. People don't know this, what she does. I see, is that Marianne back there? Marianne Hall, are you here the morning after the big party? Are you here, buddy? I got sick. Laura and I both got sick. Yeah, I know. I got my doctor here, Marianne. I got my Doc Kelsey here now. But we missed one of the events of the year. I didn't miss the wedding, though. What a beautiful time we had here. Will's pastor, Pastor Clark Williman, wonderful, wonderful colleague. I just got so many blessings, and in spite of the illness, like Bob saw me at the close. He said, "You made it, Greg." I'm very grateful to the Lord God. We did make it through that, but we got a text this morning saying what a wonderful time, Dad, that you all had with your daughter and your new son-in-law. So just great to have you here. Wonderful time. Now, we've got a very special guest this morning. I want you to give a warm welcome to Juanita Roberts. Juanita Roberts. Our organist, Linda Holden, got to visit with her and share with her about how the service goes. But I told her, I said, you know, Juanita, you and her husband, Harold, by the way. Let's lift up Harold. Good Gideon here. Brother Harold is not a newcomer here. He spoke for us, didn't he, Warren? He spoke for us. In fact, it was Brother Warren Reed who gave us their phone number and got us acquainted. But I told Juanita, I said, you're going to love this group. And I know they love their church, and I know they do want to try to support their church as many Sundays as they can. So Juanita can't be here every Sunday, but we got a stellar team up here that can take those recordings of another organist, and they've been hitting it out of the park. They've really gotten on to the timing of that. Tim, you just did, you and Derek the other day did such a beautiful job. So between this fantastic team and this gracious organist, the Lord has blessed us. And as I say, this is just a wonderful, wonderful day. Are there any parish notices to come before us? And I see Jared. Did I get it right, son? Did Greg get it right this time? I call the roll with my boys. I called him Justin the other day. I felt so bad.
I panic every time I say this out loud, but Bible school is in 2 weeks. We did have the sign-up sheet back there last week, and I checked it yesterday, and we are still needing a preschool leader and a games leader, and all the other leader positions are filled, but we do need lots of helpers. So take a look out there on the bulletin board and sign up where you think you'll be a great fit.
Thank you, Lorelei. Really looking forward to that. Some kind of bittersweet for Laura and for me. This will be our last that we have the privilege of sharing and participating in. And I got a message to the kids that I know Chatters isn't necessarily going, Gretchen, I didn't see Gretchen. Gretchen, did you just come in? Oh, hang on, Gretchen. You know what that did? Absolutely nothing. But at any rate, it may not be Chatters Theater anymore, but I've assured the children I'm going to bring Chatters, and he will be in the house, in the theater. And any other parish notices to come before us? What a wonderful Lord's Day. Let us center ourselves in Christ as we prepare ourselves for morning worship.
Thank you.
Sister Juanita, as I like to say, you just hit it out of the park. It is a blessing to have you and to serve with you. Let us stand now for the opening prayer. Let us pray. Holy Lord of all creation, you have called us to become vessels of your love, living examples of your peace in this harsh and fearful world. We hear your call to share the good news of Christ's love, in deed and in truth, in acts of justice and righteousness, in words of mercy and compassion. For this we were created. For this we were called to serve. Therefore, Lord, may our lives shine the light of love, the light of that first moment of creation, the light of servant love. Go with us, live through us, stay with us now and forevermore. For this we ask in the name of the Master, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Join with me for the call to worship. Earth and moon, sun and stars, all is good. Plant and trees, fish and birds, all is good. And now lift up your hearts, your voices unto the Lord for a very fitting hymn to follow that call to worship. Hymn 92, For the Beauty of the Earth. Thank you. And now take this opportunity to welcome one another through the passing of the peace. Now, at this time, we invite the children to come forward for the children's moments. Morning, children. Just wonderful to be with you. And are you spoiling your daddies today? And your grandfathers? You going to spoil them? You bet you. I know you will. I trust you will. Well, I've got an object lesson for us today. See, this is a Band-Aid. And of course, I said I got Dr. Kelsey here. And whenever I have an injury, I run to Dr. Kelsey. She's not at work, and I'm always like hitting her up for favors, aren't I, Dad? Like, Kelsey, what do I do if... But at any rate, you got a Band-Aid. Now, have any of you ever fallen and hurt yourself? You know, get a scrape on your hand or something. You ever had that happen to you? You know, what do? I know what I did at your age. I would run to mommy and daddy. Is that what you do? Typically, you run to mommy and daddy. And seriously, I always tease Doc Kelsey here. I got to ask her now. When I was a kid growing up, was it called methylate? Is that what they used to call it? Y'all have that up here? Do they have that anymore? I hope they don't. Can anyone else relate to that? I'm telling you, if it didn't hurt before, it would hurt afterwards. My three sons, my boys, growing up at your age, they loved the Neosporin, the triple antibiotic, whatever they call it, wherever you buy it. But they loved that ointment because they would come to us and we'd wash off the little scrape. And then mommy and daddy, whoever was there at the time, both of us would do this, and we would wash that clean. Then we would put some of that Neosporin on there, and it never hurt. And my boys were awful glad for that. It never hurt. I'm glad for it, huh? Anyone else relate to that? I'm glad for it, too. But we would put that on there, and then, you see this? We would put a Band-Aid over it to keep it protected. And sometimes... Mommy or daddy would take that. You ever have that happen? They would take it and maybe kiss it. Did you ever have that happen? Sure, we did that. Yeah, and that didn't necessarily make the germs go away, but it did make you feel better because you know mom and daddy love you. Well, now, did you ever consider taking those hurts to God? You know, your mommy and daddy love you. But you know, the Bible gives us a message of the love of Jesus Christ, that God loves us even more than mommy and daddy. You can take your hurts to God, especially, I'm really talking about especially the inside hurts. Did you ever have a friend at school or kindergarten or out on the playground? Did you ever have them treat you badly? Did that ever happen to you? Kind of, it hurts inside, doesn't it, when that happens? Or maybe they wouldn't pick you to play on their ball team. Did you ever have that happen on their team? Did it hurt inside? You know, God loves you. Take those hurts to the Lord, because the Lord Jesus loves you with the greatest love of all. Loves you so much that he gave his life on the cross for us. He suffered and bled and died to cleanse us of all sin. He loves us that much. So go to your Heavenly Father in prayer if you ever get hurt. You're crying inside. Go to your Heavenly Father. For the Heavenly Father wants you to come to him. He made you. He made your mommy and daddy. We all go to the Lord for help. And we find that help in his amazing love. Let's go to the Lord right now. Let's do that in prayer. That's a wonderful way to go to the Lord. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer to thank you for Jesus and his love. We thank you for the love of the cross. Greater love the world has never seen than this, that you gave your life for us. You paid the ultimate price to cleanse us of sin and to give us a promise of life everlasting, life abundant. So we thank you for that love, and we want you to fill our hearts with that love so it'll spill over into the lives of other children around us here and all around the world. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, children. Now, before you go to your pews, before you return to your seats, we're going to get Juanita and Harold acquainted to this little custom that we have. We hand out suckers here. We hand out two to each child. And Harold, you being a great Gideon, you're going to appreciate this evangelism here. They get two suckers, and one they keep, the one they get to keep, and the other they give to someone, and they tell them, Jesus, you're going to get one. You're going to get one. You've got to give one away, though. You've got to take two, Harold. Oh, what? Did you hear that? He usually gives a testament away. Is that powerful? Yes, you do, brother. And we will. I don't know when Gideon Sunday's coming up, Brother Warren. I don't know when that'll be. We always have our Gideon Sunday here, and there's always an opportunity. By the way, we have the opportunity back here, Harold, that you can buy the Gideon Bibles and give them away. Now they take a lot of care in the selection. Yes, they do. This is important work. It's important work, and they therefore take it seriously. Cole's going to, he's going to make a selection here. Who wants to, Bailey, do you want to carry the mic today? Bailey's going to carry the microphone. Okay, it's been a while, hasn't it, buddy? We're going to have her carry the microphone. Can you see down in there? You want me to move them a little bit for you? Here, let's go like that. Now, can you see better? Oh, she was over on that side, Harold. There she is. It is great. Brother Horn knows how much I love this. I love this portion of our sharing so much. They're wonderful children. Now, Brother Harold, you go ahead, and I know you hand out the Bibles, but you get to hand out a sucker today too. You're sure welcome, brother. Wonderful to have you. All right, children, you may return to your pews. And my goodness, I did forget Allison. And Allison has been working with her father. Didn't she do a great job, Bob and Mary Ann, at the wedding? She's just a wonderful worker. You may return to your pews, and Bailey's going to help us today. All righty, here you go, Bailey. And Harold and Juanita, this portion of the service, we call this the Joys and Concerns. And why Bailey has the microphone is that we get an opportunity, if we want to lift up a joy, say a birthday announcement, wedding anniversary, or a testimony of how Jesus is giving that strength and in the journey. You want to lift that testimony up, that joy they'll lift up, or a concern. It's a lot of times we get alerted to someone who's sick. Joys or concerns, raise your hands. Bailey's going to bring you the mic.
This week we got a real nice letter from Ellen, and I'm sure her last name's not Brandstrader anymore, but Dean Brandstrader's daughter, and he is down there in Florida, and she says he's doing awesome. He likes to go out, and he can do some fishing there and watches the kids. They are on the waterfront, so he can see the kids out playing. But I did print his address and put it over on the bulletin board by the flower chart, and I'm sure he'd love to hear from you. And also, he was able to keep his same phone number he had here, his 749 number. I don't remember the last four digits, but I also put it on there. And he would love to hear from everybody, I'm sure. And they said he is talking a lot more since he's around people more. So he's got his phone right by his chair. So she said he would be, he would love to hear from us. And also, this is somebody I know you guys don't know, but on Wednesday, my grandma turns 95. And last year for her birthday, when I saw her, she had a whole stack of cards from my aunt's church, and she continued to say, these are from, my aunt's name is Anna May, but we could never say that, so we call her Aunt May. So from Aunt May's church, and she kept saying, those are from Anna May's church. Those are, so I have her address if anybody'd like to send a card.
will you help a brother and a sister out? Would you please help us
because
out?
Because we must beat Anna May's church this year, but just make sure you put from Greg and Laura's church so we get
Please help us out. Thank you, Laura Lee. And I had a dream about Dean Brandstrader. See, we're both part Cherokee. We always call each other cousin. But I had a dream about him, and he was happy. How about that? He was happy.
My sister Michaela, on Thursday, she turned 10.
Oh, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Can I say it, Father? Or you want to, no, let Father say it. It's Father's Day. You go ahead.
Tomorrow is Allison's 10th birthday as well.
How about that? You know, Allison, when you were born, I had a full shock of hair just 10 years ago. Yeah. We have Evo. Yes.
Yeah, just like to give an update on Sis. She's had a kind of rough 2 weeks here, and the kids, all of them, got home. Farron got in from Florida Thursday evening, and Lonnie and Cindy and Dan, they got here yesterday. And we had a nice cookout and everything, but she is really, really tired. And she was admitted into the hospital, I think it was Tuesday. I took her to the emergency room, and they admitted her right away. And they just can't figure out what's going on with her stomach or anything yet. So she's got some tests this coming week that they're going to be doing. And she sure misses coming to church. I know
yes,
that.
Yes, she does. Is Cody home?
And everybody's there, Angie and Doug, and everybody was there last night.
Good.
We sat outside late, but she got real tired and everything. And she is doing what she can, you know, and
yes.
She's just not getting around like she should, I think, anyhow. But she loves all you guys. You know that.
Yes, I do. And sometimes because of illness and the medication, she, like some of her other seniors, have had to shift to the 1111 campus. And as I say, praise God, you know, that we walked right into that vision. It's there. It's ready to go. And the reason I ask about Cody, Brother Dave, is that Cody, possibly, he's getting his driver's license soon. Possibly. You pray about this. Pray to the Lord. Cody could be your new bass player for the 1111. And I said, Fritzy, his grandfather, we're there for Jesus Christ, first and foremost. But it was his grandfather, my spiritual father, Brian, who really started the band downtown. It was his leadership that gave birth to that. And I said, wouldn't that be fitting that his grandson could be the bass player to carry on that legacy and that ministry at the 1111. But sometimes Fritzy comes down there, huh, Dave?
Yeah,
sometimes
right.
She comes down there.
And also, since Harold's here, I'd like to thank him for the Bibles they put out.
Yes.
Because all the doctor's appointments and hospitals
yes.
that I take my sister to, that's first thing I look for when I get in there, and most places have them. So
I did it Lakeside, where I stayed. The Gideon Bible was in there. You bet it was, Brother Dave.
So I just like to thank him and the Gideons for those.
Well, let's raise the thanks. How about that? We always want to lift up the ministry of the Gideons. Powerful, powerful. Here and around the world.
In talking with Brother Harold down there this morning, he brought a prayer request to my attention. The name is Tim Shear. The International Gideon Convention this year is in Philadelphia. Tim's wife is I believe she's the president of the auxiliary, right, Harold? Anyways, Tim was involved and they were going to drive together to Philadelphia here in approximately a month. Was involved in a motorcycle accident yesterday. And as we speak here now, he's in surgery, critical situation. So we want to lift up Tim Shear this morning. Some of you have prayer in your Sunday school classes, so remember the name Tim Shear. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Warren. And we lift up Tim Shear this morning. Terrible, terrible motorcycle accident.
Our granddaughter, Madison, it's been 3 years since she had her open heart surgery, and they said it would last 3 to 7 years. Well, she goes tomorrow to her cardiologist, hoping it's not this year. It'll last longer, so
praise
just keep her in her prayers.
Indeed, Gloria. Thank you so much for alerting us. Thank you. I see a daughter over here by her father.
Tuesday is Mom's birthday.
Well, let's raise a cheer for Mom. Happy birthday, Karen. Thank you, daughter. Thank you, April. Any other joys or concerns? Bailey's just doing a wonderful job. Wonderful job. Any others? Well, let's show an appreciation for Bailey, her service to the Lord today. Wonderful disciple. Thank you, Bailey. And it must be Gideon Sunday, I'm telling you, Brother Warren, because the closing hymn at the 1111 campus this morning is a song that the Sons of the Pioneers gave us through the ministry of Tim Spencer. Was that his name, Tim Spencer? He was the one that found Christ in a hotel years ago through the ministry of the Gideons. The Bible was there. And it was Tim's son, by the way, that he owns today, Manna Music. If you contemporary music lovers, you'll see that all the time, Manna Music. That belonged to the Tim Spencer of the Sons of the Pioneers. And Tim gave the arrangement, added lyrics, slightly different phrasing that we now have in our hymn book for How Great Thou Art. Thanks to the ministry of the Gideons and the Sons of the Pioneers. Let's turn to the Lord now in silent prayer. God of amazing love, may your grace and forgiveness inspire us to teach this desperate world hope for the future. May we become the living embodiment of your good news in all that we say, in all that we do. In the midst of our fears and doubts, help us to take heart. For nothing in heaven or on earth can stand against your love. Surrounding us with your constant presence, you are with us always, as you promised, from the beginning to the end, to life's close and completion. Deepen our faith, loving Lord, as we lift up from our hearts the prayer that the Savior himself has invited us to share with him on this Father's Day. We pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite us to stand for this hymn of preparation, 710, Faith of Our Fathers. Let us stand together. And by the way, How Great Thou Art is also going to be used here for the close. Please be seated. Isn't Juanita doing a wonderful job? Let us praise the Lord. Give the Lord thanks. Juanita, thank you so much. I promised her great hospitality here. Harold's already experienced that hospitality. Now his beloved gets to experience that with you. What a Sunday to be here, Harold and Juanita, because this is from Paul's writings to the church at Corinth, love letters. Paul was one of the most brilliant writers of any of the epistles, probably one of the most brilliant writers, period, in Scripture. He could have easily presented a systematic theology, but that really was not what he was about. He was about sending out pastoral letters, so let us prepare our hearts. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit will be with you all. May God add the blessing of His Holy Spirit to the reading of God's holy word. Just give me just one moment. Anyone else's allergies bother them? I was up at Lakeside, and they up there, it must be the cottonwood capital of the world. And I don't have that many allergies, but cottonwood's one of them. Before we begin, I heard a story about a young couple. They were at a conservative Bible college, one of our fine Bible colleges in the States here. And this young man fell head over heels in love with this pretty girl on the campus, and she fell in love with him, and he wanted to kiss her, Roger. He wanted to kiss her, but he felt, I mean, there they were at a Bible college. He felt that he should have a scripture as the basis for this, so that he could speak the scripture and use that to in order to kiss this now the love of his life. And he thought of this very scripture: greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, the only problem is he thought to himself, well, you know, I can't use that verse, because actually that verse is referring to the church. And so he was stymied. And all of a sudden, the pretty girl reaches over and plants a big old kiss right on the lips. And she says, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Well, the young man was actually quite right. Greet one another with a holy kiss. That really is applying to the church. Let me turn to another version of that scripture that I especially love this one. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, you know, upon first reading of this, and of course this comes at the close of his pastoral care, this comes at the close of his love letter, if you will, to the church at Corinth. Upon the first sight of that, you would almost be led to think that Corinth, and of course the famous chapter of love that we use in weddings many times, you might be led to think that Corinth, therefore, was the idyllic church of Jesus Christ. And nothing could be further from the truth. They were the Greeks. And as such, they were torn apart by many of their attachments to the pantheon of the Greek gods, and also the Roman gods as well that followed. I had one great classicist that came to Wright State University. I was a classics major, classical Greek. And he assured us that the Romans are the Greeks. That was it. And he was the global scholar, so he ought to know that everything that really filtered into Rome was just a restating of the original pantheon of the gods of the Greek world. So they were really torn apart, and they were having difficulty adjusting. They were having difficulty, as we use a modern phraseology, cultural assimilation. They were having difficulty coming. They wanted to surrender to Christ, but they still had these little carryovers, you know, from that which had been indoctrinated in them from the beginning. For instance, you may remember that it was at the church of Corinth that Paul wrote about not eating the food that was offered up unto gods. Now, Paul knew there were no other gods. Of course, as a great Hebrew, he had already been a believer in monotheism and only one God. But furthermore, he had the encounter with the light of the world on that journey. And in that encounter, he had a full epiphany. As I said, Paul was a remarkable servant of the Lord, one of the most remarkable of all the apostles. So Paul could eat food offered up unto idols. He knew, Harold, there were no such thing as other gods. Wouldn't have fazed him one bit. Wouldn't have hurt him. But here's his counsel. Again, pastoral letters. Watching out for one another. Beware, because you've got other brothers and sisters in your body who may still be hanging on to some of those deep-seated beliefs. Bob Hall, you're a great counselor. You appreciate this. They were already indoctrinated. So even though they wanted to surrender fully to Christ, they still had that. They still had that kind of tag with them. They were still tethered somewhat to those earlier primitive mythologies. And so as a result of that, Paul, in love, in the spirit of the love of Christ, said, therefore, you may like me, you may know that there are no other gods. This is just a mythology that continues throughout this culture. But you got the brothers and sisters who may still kind of feel conflicted with that. And if you tell them it's okay, still in their hearts, still tethered to the old mythologies, they may therefore, in that conflict, they may do what in their heart they feel is wrong. Don't do that, he says. Don't do that. Don't do that. Be a good brother. Be a good sister. Don't condescend with them, but have some compassion. Because I want you to be one, he says. I want you to be one. And that's why he lifted up, greet one another with the holy kiss. Because nothing's going to finally transcend that diversity and bring us together. No power on earth is a greater cohesive force than the love of Jesus Christ. And so that's what he wants them to go for. Go for the best. You still kind of rough around the edges at conference. We had a Reverend Eric Law. And he was going into one of the communities there, and he has the gift of vision for various cultural ministries, if you will. And one of the churches invited Reverend Law, and they showed him the various rooms of their church. And here was an empty room not being used, and it had a stair. It had a stairwell that went out to the outside. And they asked him, they said, Reverend Law, what in the world are we going to do with this room? You know, you got that big old stairwell in the way. What are we going to do with this room? And Reverend Eric Law says, I can see a restaurant here in your church. And sure enough today, there is a restaurant with a stairwell that merges the community of Christ with the world outside, so that those who have are now breaking bread with those who have not. And it is a flourishing ministry. That has gone smoothly. Dr. Tony Campolo, Crossroads, had the privilege of being asked by Dr. Campolo to come to Defiance College. We had the privilege of serving him there. And I remember it was at Defiance College that he revealed to us that, of course, he's like Reverend Law. He's, remember, a sociology professor as well as a minister, but as a sociologist, he has the same gift that Reverend Eric Law has. He can go into to a site, and he can see with vision, some of the ministries of which they could participate and be a part. Well, it was an inner city community, and there were many people out of work there. So what Tony Campolo proposed. They had devised some kind of product, and you know, I cannot tell you the product, but it was made from old tires. Well, Tony prescribed it, and he came back on a later visit. Lo and behold, they had a workshop. They were taking these tires. They were converting them into this product. That was being converted into money that was flowing into this struggling church, struggling community, and also filtering out in mission dollars now for the surrounding inner city community and the world. It was a lucrative business. There was one little hiccup. Tony had to instruct the young men who were part of this, procuring the tires, that they were not, however, to go into the communities and put the cars on blocks and steal the tires. That's what they were doing. That's the church at Corinth. And Tony, he laughs to this day about that. He just had to spend a little more time with them, you know? And he had to appeal to a little more patience and love. And they were able, finally, to resolve that little problem. They were finally taught in time more of Christian ethics, that you don't go out and steal the tires in order to support that ministry. That's what was happening at Corinth. It was not an idyllic community, rough around the edges, torn apart by schisms. But that's why Paul especially says, rejoice, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace. The God of love and peace is with you, and greet one another with the holy kiss. There's nothing that brings us together more so than the love of Jesus Christ, the greatest cohesive force in all the universe. And we need that if we're going to be the body of Christ that we're called to be. Lee Iacocca was a great visionary. We're talking about visionaries. He went to the legendary coach Vince Lombardi, and he asked Coach Vince Lombardi what it took to make a winning team. He had a vested interest in that, Harold, at the time. He was trying to build a winning team for his car company. So Vince says, Lee, there are a lot of coaches out there with good ball clubs. And he said, I'm talking, they got two powerful ingredients. First of all, they know the fundamentals. They know the fundamentals inside and out. That's one ingredient. Second ingredient, they have plenty of discipline. And yet, Lee, they don't win the games. And here's why. Vince Lombardi said, if you want to play on a team, you gotta care for each other. You gotta love one another, he actually said. Each player has to be thinking of the next guy. For instance, saying, if I don't block that man, Paul's going to get his legs broken. I got to do my job, and I got to do it well so that he can do his. Vince Lombardi concluded his witness. He said, the difference between mediocrity and greatness is the way that the players care for each other. Well, if that's true for a football team, Tyler, it's even more true for the body of Christ, for a winning church. If we're going to be a winning church, the difference between mediocrity and greatness is the way that we care for each other. I promised Juanita, I said, Juanita, you're going to love this group. When I was up at Lakeside, of course, we got an excellent lay delegate. I can't brag enough on Tawna. I know Tawna's there more than I am. I made it to the voting sessions, but I got to tell you something. She's there for the whole thing. You know, you got the best. But up there, I'm getting to that point of my journey where I'm getting done. I'm starting to get nostalgic even. I'm already a nostalgic soul. Don and I just love to talk, man. We love to reminisce and call back old memories. That's me. So I was up there walking the hallowed grounds, and I was thinking of Bob and Louise Wurtenberger. And I remembered when they were the lay delegates. And I told Louise one time, that time the conference was really hammering us, you know, to be accountable for church growth. We are called to grow. We got to grow because people need what we got, Bob. They need what we got. So I was thinking about Bob and Louise up there. And I had told Louise one time about your church here. Harold, you know what I told her? Church growth? I said, you know what, Wheeze? That's what my boys always call her. Wheeze, if we can just get people in that door, we'll have them. Because if they come here and they experience your love here, the way you care for each other, they'll come back because they're going to want to come back. Because the world needs that. You know, we all need that. We all need that. If we've got each other's back, you hear me? If we've got each other's back, we're at our best. Got a little video clip for you here. I'm going to have Tim roll the clip. Now, this is old. Forget about high def. But I think you'll get the picture. Take a look at this. Little brother and little sister. Oh man. Well, therein endeth the lesson. Praise God. Well, if we could just keep a clip of that running, Tim, out front and have one of those big old digital things running constantly. That's the picture I want people to see, because that's what's going on in here, right? To bridge the chasms. There's that ultimate chasm that only the Lord Jesus is going to help us bridge. Only the Lord Jesus can build that bridge that separates us from here and his kingdom. Sin created that chasm. Jesus conquered that chasm. But there are all sorts of chasms in the journey of life. Brothers and sisters can make an earth bridge, right? Out of care. We got each other's back. That's what we all need. Another business guru by the name of Malcolm Gladwell has written a book called Outliers. And in the book Outliers, he tells an interesting story about a man named Christopher Langen. Langen was a genius. Now hold on to your hats. Langen was a genius with an IQ of 195. That's right, Harold. You've already got the picture. But for some of us to get a little handle on that, Malcolm Gladwell gave us a sort of a reference point. He compared that, for instance, to the IQ of Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein, arguably, the greatest mind that the Creator ever made. A strong theist, strong believer in God, one of the greatest minds. And when he died as a senior, the family gave permission for his brain to be kept in the laboratory so that they could do further tests. Watch History Channel sometime. That was a rather convoluted journey. I'm not going to go into it. But long story short, the science community did come to a consensus through the study at the cellular level. As a senior, somehow, God only knows how, somehow, Dr. Einstein's brain tissue at the cellular level was not that of a senior brain, but that of a young man. And to this day, it's a mystery. How? That's a question. But there's no question that he was one of the greatest minds ever made by God. His IQ was an astounding 150. Christopher Langen's was not 150, but 195. When Langen was in high school, he could ace any foreign language exam by simply skimming the textbook 2 to 3 minutes prior to the exam, and he'd ace it. He posted a perfect SAT score. He did admittedly fall asleep during the exam. He managed to wake up and hastily posted a perfect score. Perfect. And yet, Langen failed to use any of his extraordinary gifts. He ended up working on a horse farm somewhere in rural Missouri. According to Gladwell, the reason he never used these extraordinary gifts that God had given him was because he never had a community to help him capitalize on their gifts. Gladwell summarizes the life of Christopher Langen in one sentence, quote, "Langen had to make his way alone, and no one, not rock stars, not professional athletes, not software billionaires, not even geniuses, no one ever makes it alone. We need each other." Paul knew that. Rough around the edges, it wasn't a finished church by any means. Hey, we're not finished, right? But he appealed to the greatest power of all creation, the love of God in Jesus Christ, the greatest cohesive power in all the world, to bring a diverse people together, to live as one and to be in Christ and to flourish in Christ. When we surrender ourselves, no matter how rough around the edges we are, that's when the greatest treasure of all will be given to us. In closing, Alice Gray tells a story. You could use it as a parable. There was a little girl who fell in love with a string of plastic pearls. She saved up her nickels and dimes to buy these plastic treasures. And after she bought them, she wore that little strand of plastic pearls everywhere, Courtney, everywhere. She would wear them to Sunday school. She would wear them to kindergarten. She even wore them to bed. Only time she took them off was when she took a bath or she went swimming. Now, this little girl had a daddy who loved her so much. And every night, he would tuck her into bed, and he would read to her bedtime stories. When I was going over this, Laura, I got weepy-eyed thinking of my boys back in the day. You know, how many of you moms and dads remember reading the bedtime stories? You know what I'm talking about. I got a little weepy-eyed, Ted. He would read her the bedtime stories. And then one night after Dad finished the bedtime story, he turned to his daughter. Her name was Jenny, by the way. He says, "Jenny, do you love me?" "Oh, Daddy, you know I love you. I love you, Daddy." "Then give me your pearls." "Oh, Daddy. Oh, Daddy, not my pearls, but I will give you Princess. She's the white horse in my collection, the one with the pink tail. You remember, Daddy? She's the one you gave me. She's my favorite. I'll give you Princess." "Oh, that's all right, sweetheart. That's okay. Daddy loves you. Now you just go to sleep." And he brushed her cheek with a kiss. Once a week thereafter, he would ask her the same thing, however. "Do you love me? And would you give me your pearls?" Finally, one night, the little girl was sitting on her bed, tears running down her cheeks, with a little shiver. She finally says, "Here, Daddy, this is for you." With tears welling up in his own eyes now, her kind-hearted daddy reached out with one hand and he took that string of dime store pearls. And with the other, Gail, he reached into his pocket He pulled out a blue velvet case containing a strand of genuine pearls, and he gave them to Jenny. He'd had them all along, Kelsey, all along, Gretchen. He was just waiting for her to give up the dime store stuff so he could give her genuine treasure. So it is with our God. Loves us as a father loves his children with patience, with compassion. Knows our every weakness, right? Waiting for us to surrender. Rough around the edges we are, always will be. We don't get completed on this side of eternity. We'll always be somewhat rough around the edges, tethered to some of the anachronisms of the culture. But God is a loving father and waits for us. Surrender just as I am. Surrender. And the Lord then will give you genuine treasure, the greatest of all, his love. And the love will grow in your heart and spill over into the lives of the body of Christ. And that's the cohesion. That's the glue divine that'll keep us as one, one for the glory of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. At this time, we will serve the Lord of all through the morning tithes and offerings. And don't forget, the Holy Spirit guides me to say, don't forget the ministry of the Gideons.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. Everywhere we look and everywhere we turn, all that you have set before us, all that you surround us with is good, sustaining, sufficient, and complete. What indescribable joy and delight is evident in the works of your hands. We rejoice with you, celebrate your creation as we freely return to you what you have so selflessly given to us. We worship you and we praise you, O God. Amen. And now, again, thanks in part to the ministry of the Gideons that put that Bible there in that hotel years ago. Tim Spencer, Sons of the Pioneers, brought you the hymn you're going to lift up now from your hearts. 77, How Great Thou Art. Praise the Lord. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest, abide with us all now and forever. Amen.